Thank you for coming. I would like to reintroduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Clarice Wilkins, and I grew up in this church right downstairs in the preschool room. I met my best friend of 21 years here. We're still best friends. And I'd like to begin by telling you a story. And like any good story, Disney is totally involved. So 2 years ago, at Thanksgiving, I went to the movies with some of my cousins to see Moana when it first came out. Raise your hand if you've seen Moana. And it was totally awesome, right? Right. I was already pretty excited hearing that Lin-Manuel Miranda was responsible for the music. He's responsible for Broadway's Hamilton, if you're familiar with that. And this fantastic journey across the sea for her to save her island and her people. I was especially excited for this one, though, because Moana isn't just another girl in a Disney movie who's on an adventure. She's a Polynesian girl with big brown eyes and long, dark, curly hair and cinnamon-colored skin. Moana is a girl in a Disney movie who looks like me. Now, credit where credit is due. I didn't see The Princess and the Frog when it first came out in 2009, which debuted Disney's first black princess. But I imagine that other black kids and adults, like myself, looked up at the screen and saw someone who looked more like them too. And I can fully appreciate how profound that must have been. Because at 23, in a packed movie theater, with my two-year-old cousin singing along to the opening number beside me, I saw a wide-eyed, wild-haired, brown-skinned girl racing across the big screen, and kind of like I'm doing right now, I was totally sobbing. I'm not totally sure, that I can explain what it feels like to be represented in that way, because I don't know that there's really a basis for that kind of understanding without the experience of first having been grossly underrepresented. They were partially tears of joy. Like, how cool is this? That after all my relatively brief years of life, I get to see a movie like this come together and be so beautifully done. One that centers people of color where we aren't household workers or slaves or villains, but peoples and many peoples rich in color and heritage and life. These tears also come with the realization that unlike my younger cousins, who would hopefully see themselves in many more characters throughout their lives, there were so many who came before me who are experiencing what I was experiencing then, but in their 40s and their 60s. People that have been and continue to be underrepresented and struggling to have their stories told, their voices heard, in the media, in their government, and even in their places of worship. And while we are striving to be a welcoming and accepting faith, know that Unitarian Universalist spaces have often been no exception to this reality. I would like to read for you, if I may, only excerpts in the interest of brevity, from Connie Simon's Missing Voices. Before I get to that, Guess I don't have to sniffle through the whole thing. Okay. Okay. Missing Voices is a piece that was selected for this service and was written by the black woman serving as the intern minister at the Unitarian Society of Germantown and contract chaplain at Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia. I encourage you to read this piece in its entirety, and there are places you can find it. But this is some of what she had to say about the representation of black voices specifically in UU churches. I am a black woman. When I look around on Sunday morning, I don't see many people who look like me. In most of the congregations I visit, I don't see anybody who looks like me. So I guess it shouldn't be surprised that I don't hear voices of the people who share my experience. But it still hurts. I want to hear voices that tell the struggle of living under the weight of oppression in this culture of white supremacy. I want to hear stories of trying to stay afloat in the water we swim in. I want to hear voices of living while black in America. I don't hear these voices in UU churches, so I have to supplement my worship by reading black theologians like Anthony Penn and Monica Coleman. I read Maya Angelou, James Baldwin, and my favorite poet, Paul Laurence Dunbar, though not a Unitarian or a Universalist. Dunbar chronicled the African-American experience in the years following the Civil War and the emancipation of enslaved Africans, a time of opportunities for blacks as we migrated north in droves seeking employment and education, but also a time of continuing segregation, racism, and oppression. For Dunbar, the struggle was real. 100 years later, hearing Dunbar express his frustration and give voice to the contradictions of our existence as African Americans encourages me and nourishes my soul. His voice speaks to my heart. He knows my pain and understands my sadness, my fear, my rage. He understands the tears I cry as I pray for the strength to get through another day in this world. He gives voice to my deep faith that real change is coming someday. He didn't see it in his lifetime, and I might not see it in mine. But I have to keep believing it's possible. That's the message many African Americans long to hear in church. I know that's what I need to hear every now and then. Will it ever happen? Or will we always have to go to outside to hear our voices? If that's the case, maybe there's no place for us in Unitarian Universalism. Though the thought of leaving is painful, but so is being in a faith that ignores our voices. Connie Simon. I was raised here to believe that we as a faith community covenant to work for justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and that we will accept one another and encourage spiritual growth within our congregations. In fact, these are our second and third principles, respectively. And I absolutely believe that to be true. I know that the people here in this congregation care about me. I know that you want me to succeed, and I know that you want to make the world a better place for people like me. But I also know that we're just as much a part of what happens out there in the world too. That the systematic constructs that seek to silence and other and promote systems designed to be broken are a part of our reality as well. For those of you who have probably never met him, as he's usually busy on Sunday mornings, my father is a black man and a jazz musician by profession. Because of this, and this is my favorite, because of this, I grew up in a house flooded with the sounds of great black musicians, and with them hundreds of years of my people's history. Without getting too much into the dark history of which most of us are aware, suffice to say that I come from a long line of people who survived. I am the descendant of those who believed that they deserved better, who fought to live in a world that so vehemently sought to remove them from it. As a person of African and indigenous descent, I am harrowingly aware that my being here on this earth, in this social climate, in this room with you, is no accident. And with the black joy that has survived through my ancestors, I carry with me too their trauma and the burdens heaped upon them. And I shoulder them like my black ancestors did, like other black people and people of color all around this country do as well. But I cannot do it alone. Coming up on what we celebrate tomorrow as Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, which was really actually, I think, the 15th last week, I'd like to talk about him for a moment. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of justice and our responsibility to combat injustice when we see it. You may be familiar with his words, as they're fairly popular, that read, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." But there's more to that story. His famous letter from a Birmingham jail reads, "I am in Birmingham because there is injustice here. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whoever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds." If you've never read Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail in its entirety, I very strongly encourage you to do so, both as people living in this unjust world, but specifically as UUs. Just in reading that excerpt, I can hear our second and third and seventh principle, the seventh regarding the interconnected web of which we are all a part, resonating in his words. We are called as a people of faith, as you use, to do something in the face of justice. I am asking you, as people of my personal faith community, to help me. If you are hearing my words call you to action, but asking how, I urge you to start as you already have, by listening, as you've listened to me today. Listen to the words of other people of color, and seek them out by taking charge of your own education. Read Letter from a Birmingham Jail. Read the poems of Maya Angelou and the work of James Baldwin. Listen to our music, our interviews, our young people. The internet is a vast resource of material cultivated by people of color. And by seeking it out, you not only bring our words and our stories into your lives, but you do so in a way that alleviates some of the work and great emotional energy that is constantly brought upon people of color to be the teachers and the listeners in a world where we already carry so much with us. I and other people of color are exhausted and angry and healing. And healing and desperately trying to heal generations of trauma within ourselves. I ask you to congregate among yourselves for now, to read and process and understand, knowing that this is the work of allyship, that this is the work of justice. If you are able to, I also encourage you to go downtown with us tomorrow and march. Walk with me and my people. Hear our stories and say, if only with your presence I bear witness to your pain. I see your trauma, and I'm here. I stand with you. Because as Black UUs, we're just that. We're UUs, and we are on that same journey towards justice and liberty and peace. But we cannot do it alone. Thank you.